Oh my God, I'm chilling.
What happened? Oh my God.
Oh, I just can't.
What?
Welcome to episode 94. You ready to talk shit?
Hell yeah. Let me just warn everyone that I'm on spring break right now. Hey, Rachel here. So I'm like in this old beach house in Georgia. So if it's, you know, not the greatest quality and I'm like hunched over, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm sorry. I just had to make it work how I could, you know?
No, we know. Luckily, it's my story today.
Yeah, I'm just the commentator today. So if this is annoying, don't worry about it.
Well, I'm telling you all about Ashley Reeves today.
Okay. Can I just interject already?
Yeah, because it's annoying.
She
annoying Rebecca's, story coming at you.
Rebecca was like, I cannot wait to tell you my next story. I hope you haven't heard of it. And I was like, what is it? She said, Ashley Reeves. And I was like, I literally just added this to the notes and said dibs on it. I listened to a, like, I don't even know what podcast, a blurb about it. It was a 10-minute story, and it told me the gist of it. And I was like, holy shit, I do not know any details.
All right. Well,
I put the dibs on there with a note, like, I need to research this. So I know what happens generally, but no details whatsoever.
Well, here's what's weird about it. This all happened in 2006. So the fact that we have the shared note on our iPhones about upcoming podcasts, and if we're doing it, we're like, dibs, Reb, dibs, Rach, dibs. And I see that it's been updated, and I go to it, and it says, mother effing Ashley Reeves, Rach, dibs. I was like, whoa, wait. That's the story I'm telling you tomorrow.
In my defense, before I add anything to the note, I search the note.
No.
To see if it's
in already there. Listened to the blurb about it. So you would have gone to add it and seen that I've already done it, but you already heard about it.
Oh,
so
well, sure.
Still annoying.
Well, but anyway. Sorry. I don't know the deets. I know 10 minutes about it.
But that is weird. That was like, wait, it's not even like a recent story.
And I looked back at what I listened to, and it was uploaded in like 2019 or something. I just randomly listened to it the day before you brought it up. It's just crazy. Things like that just
are crazy to me. Exact same thought process in our Googling or something. Like, how did we both stumble across this? I don't know. Anyway, sources. There's an episode of On the Case with Paula Zahn about this. CBSNews.com, a Medium article by Nikki Young. And a Crime Watch Daily with none other than Elizabeth Smart. Yeah. For you international listeners, in 2002, Elizabeth Smart was a 14-year-old girl who got kidnapped by a husband and wife, and she was held captive for 9 months. It was national news. May have been international news. I don't know. But she's a correspondent now in 2017 at least. She might still be. She was a correspondent for Crime Watch Daily. In 2006, 17-year-old Ashley Reeves was living with her parents, Michelle and Mike, and her younger sister, Casey, in Millstadt, Illinois. She was a junior at Columbia High School, and her mom said she was your typical teenager, but never really caused problems. She wasn't rebellious or anything like that. She loved sports. She had a ton of friends. She had a boyfriend named Jeremy, who she had been dating for 2 years at this point. Her parents really liked him and felt that he was like a nice little wholesome guy who really cared about their daughter. On Thursday, April 27th, 2006, Ashley told her parents that after school she was going to a job interview in an area called Fairview Heights. Then she was planning to play basketball afterwards with some friends, which is apparently something she did often, and she assured them that she would be home by her 10 p.m. curfew. She borrowed Jeremy's car for the job interview because she needed oil in hers, and so they switched. And after school, around 3:30, she dropped Casey off at their house and then headed to the interview.
Casey's the little sister, right?
Yeah.
What's their age again? Sorry.
She's 17. Ashley is 17.
Okay.
I don't know how old Casey is at this point.
Okay.
As these stories go, 10 p.m. comes and goes, and Ashley's not home. Her parents asked her little sister, Casey, if she had talked to her, and she hadn't. So they called Jeremy, and he said he was actually trying to get in touch with her, too, to see how the interview went and to switch cars back. And she wasn't answering his calls or texts. They started calling other friends to see if they'd talked to her, but they too said she wasn't answering their text messages. So now they're getting worried, and they actually log onto their Verizon account Actually, I don't even know their cell provider. I don't know why I said Verizon. That's just mine. So
yeah, exactly. Because so it's yours.
So they log onto their provider account. And since Ashley was under Michelle and Mike's plan, they're able to see her call log for that day. Didn't know you could do this, but I logged on to my Verizon and I texted it. And you can, people. It's under usage.
Oh, I'm going to do that to everyone in the family.
Well, I did it to yours because I actually couldn't remember my login, but I did remember yours for some reason. So I actually tested against yours. And it's just, you call me in pain all damn day.
Our friend Scott once used my phone and went through. He goes, oh my God, Rebecca Payne, get a life. It's like, excuse me.
Screw you, man.
I'm going to throw you in the mix if you're not careful.
They see that Ashley called this one number several times and this person called her several times. So they called it. And it's a guy named Sam Shelton who says that he hasn't seen her and he kind of makes light of the situation. Like, well, don't worry. It's only 11 p.m. And her mom's like, yeah, but on the rare occasion she's late, she always calls. And it's a school night and they've called all her friends. And where is she going to be at 11 p.m. on a school night by herself?
I mean, that's late.
That's late.
And she's young.
I know. She's 17. But he kind of brushes it off and essentially hangs up on her. So Michelle calls the police to report her missing and tells them that they've called all the numbers in her phone records and who they've talked to, et cetera. And the cops actually took it very seriously from the jump. You would think that they might eye roll at the idea of a teenager who's late for curfew being reported missing. But they said the panic in Michelle's voice made them concerned. And not only that, but because Ashley hadn't answered her friend's or boyfriend's texts in a few hours, was alarming to them, more so alarming than not answering your parents, obviously.
Right. And did she actually go play basketball? Did they call that friend? Who was she playing basketball with?
They didn't know who she was playing basketball with
yet. Oh.
Yeah. Cops drive around to various parks where Ashley might be playing basketball. And sure enough, they see Jeremy's car, which remember she was borrowing for the day, at Latterman Park in an area called Belleville. There's no sign of Ashley and there's nothing too alarming inside the car. She had brought a change of clothes to play basketball in, and they were still in there, but nothing else really stood out. The next morning, cops asked Jeremy to come to the station, and they questioned him because, obviously, as the boyfriend, you're number one suspect. But he was watching his uncle's band at some restaurant the night before, which was confirmed, and he genuinely seemed very worried. So they quickly ruled him out, but asked if he knew who she was playing basketball with, and he said he had no idea. They brought in a few of her friends to see if maybe there was something they knew that her parents didn't know. And sure enough, there was.
Shit.
One friend told them that Ashley had been cheating on Jeremy with a guy named Sam Shelton.
The dick who hung up on her?
Yeah. On her mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they tell her that this is actually who she was meeting in Latterman Park. And obviously their ears perk up because they know Michelle had already talked to this guy on the phone and he said he hadn't seen her. You see, not only was it a secret because obviously Ashley had a boyfriend, but because Sam was a teacher. Sam Shelton was a 26-year-old gym teacher, and his mom said he was voted most athletic, and he was very popular, and he's a very good man. He actually lives with his mom and grandmother and was definitely still breastfeeding. And you'll see.
Oh, good, good. Mm-hmm. Wait, was he a coach at her school? I knew he was a teacher.
No, he was... So he was the middle school gym teacher. So he wasn't currently Ashley's teacher, but he was her former teacher when she was in seventh grade.
Gross.
Yeah. They, quote, didn't take things to the next level until she was a junior in high school. Yeah. So still gross, still illegal, and obviously would have been very scandalous in the small town. So they kept it a secret. According to her friends, he was the teacher that everyone wanted. And all the girls had a crush on him because not only was he good looking, but he was cool and very chummy with students. Mm-hmm. I bet you were.
Mm-hmm. Clearly.
Yeah. Even in Jeremy's interview with police, they asked him about Sam and he vouched for him. He looked at him more as a friend than a teacher. They even asked if he thought maybe if there was something going on between Ashley and Sam. And he said, no way. Ashley was a loyal girlfriend and it wouldn't be in Sam's nature to do that. Oh, Jeremy. Poor
sad.
Mm-hmm. He did know that Ashley sometimes played basketball with Sam, though. But said he would never hurt her.
How does that start is my question.
I don't know.
Listen, I'm going to pick up the mic for this. We all had teachers who were like the cool teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But even the cool teachers in high school who were notably younger and like, yeah, okay. But I just do not remember lines like that being crossed. I just don't understand how that could start mutually.
Right. I don't know. He was younger. I mean, I get having a crush. I don't know.
Maybe that's victim blaming. I shouldn't say that. Never mind.
In addition to being the gym coach, Sam was the baseball coach and was an aspiring pro wrestler who went by the name The Teacher. So he's clever, too.
Oh, my gosh. You're the so whole package. Creative. The whole package. How'd you think of that?
Cops want to question him, like yesterday, obviously. So they find him at the school right as baseball practice is starting and bring him in. He denies ever having an inappropriate...
In front of everyone?
Yeah, which is great.
How embarrassing.
How embarrassing for this.
How are you going to explain that?
He denies ever having an inappropriate relationship with Ashley, saying he used to teach her in middle school and they stayed in touch, but nothing more. Okay. That in and of itself is an inappropriate relationship. There is no staying in touch with students. We're not absolutely fuck off.
How so, too? Yeah.
Like texting here and there.
No.
Going to play basketball. You know?
No.
No. He says he hasn't seen or heard from Ashley, but unfortunate for him, they already know that her parents pulled the phone records, confirming that they did talk. So police present him with this, and his story changes, saying, okay, Ashley became obsessed with me and was calling me nonstop, so I was trying to blow her off. You can say, look.
I'm picking up the mic for it.
Uh-oh. She's on one.
Okay. First of all, speaking of victim blaming, how does he explain the incoming calls?
Right. He can't.
No. This isn't just outgoing calls to your number. They're incoming calls to your number. Did you not just hear me say, we pulled the phone records? That's not just outgoing, you scumbag. Gross.
Right.
Gross.
So gross.
Oh, God, I'm getting grossed out. Coach
Tom. Oh, my God. It makes me so heated, everything. So don't worry about it. So police press on, and he gives a little more, saying, okay, fine. They did have sex once a few months ago, but they never kissed, which, ew. And he felt absolutely terrible about it and asked her never to tell anyone because he could get fired. Cops keep him there for about 12 hours. And along the way, his story changes a few times. He's getting a little bit closer. At one point, he says he did want a relationship with her, then he didn't, and he wanted to end things. But they can see he's starting to crack a little bit with each new story.
How old is he?
26 at this time. Eventually, he says, fine. He did meet her the night before at Latterman Park, and they drove around, and he told her that he wanted to end things, and she went crazy.
Here we go.
The bitches be crazy card.
Oh, God.
Rich. But according to him, she was kicking and screaming, and they got in this huge fight, so he pulled over and told her to get out, but she wouldn't, so he dragged her out and left her on the side of the road. The damnedest thing, though, for how crazy she was going, kicking and punching and everything, she has not one bruise or scratch on them.
So weird.
Yeah. When asked if he thought about going back to check on her, since, you know, leaving a teenager stranded on the side of the road at night might not be the safest scenario, he said he thought about it, but he didn't want to see her in a ditch if she got hit by a car or something.
Oh, how traumatic that might be for you.
That might be traumatic for him. He said, I quote, I have a very weak stomach when it comes to stuff like that.
He's squeamish. Stop.
He can never do anything. He has a weak tummy, this pro wrestler.
Yeah, really?
God. Fuck off. He goes on to say he can't even stand gory movies. Then ask the cop if he's ever seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, what? I don't care to discuss movies with you right now. Believe it or not, this is not what I came in here to talk to you about.
And you're painting such a scenario. You don't even know if she got hit by the car.
What are you talking about? Right. He's created this hit by the car scenario and says if he saw her bleeding and on the side of the road, he wouldn't be able to stand it or look at her. He wouldn't be able to stand it.
It's so weird.
So weird. So cops are like, okay, we get it. You're a pussy. Fine. No need to drive back. Did you try calling her? And he says, nah.
Great.
So they give him a bathroom break. And oddly enough, he runs into the lead detective who actually knows him personally.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say he ran.
Oh,
like,
God.
Please.
Oh, please. They're like, come back here. You know, he runs into the lead detective who actually knows him personally. His name is Steven Johnson. They met at this thing where cops go speak to Boy Scouts about law enforcement or something. And I guess Sam volunteered with Boy Scouts at one point. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they got to know each other. And I know, insert just gross stuff.
I know. I don't know
how what's going through everyone's mind right now.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about a predator volunteering with the Boy Scouts, but
no.
Okay.
No. Yeah. Anyway, they got to know each other, and Detective Johnson asks if he can take over the interview. He wants to be tagged in because he knows the heartstrings to pull on. He knows that Sam lives with his mom and grandmother, and he knows how much he cares about them.
Put me in, coach.
Right. And they put him in. So he's kind of playing the friend role, but also pulling out the grandma card and says, if I were to go to your grandmother's house right now and tell her this entire story that you've told us, what would she say? And Sam said he just wants to go home and explain to his mom and grandma what happened. And Detective Johnson goes, well, they're not here. And then he pauses and says, but you know what?
Uh-oh.
They kind of are, because everything they taught you, all the talks grandma had with you, are within you. And unfortunately, right now, Sam, you're not telling us the truth. And you need to. You need to for your mom and grandma. And he breaks. He breaks 20 minutes in. Where's this fucking guy 12 hours ago?
Is this verbatim? Hours.
Yes.
That's what he said?
Yep. Oh, and the tears just flow.
Wow.
He crumbles like a piece of paper.
Wow. They kind of are, because we took them and we held them captive and we're going to torture them until you tell us everything. Is that? I thought that's where you're going.
But you know what, Sam? They actually are here.
In the other room.
Now, I got to be honest. I love my mom and grandmother. They're shocked this worked. I would really try to put myself in that position for anything, like high school shit. Could I be guilted into admitting what I did? Probably not.
Not like that.
Not like that. And I'm not a piece of shit at all. I just don't think that would work. I got to be honest.
It would never work. It's like when one of our college friends got caught sneaking out or something. And she told us in adulthood that her mom drove her to a parking lot of a church and said, tell me again where you were last night or something. I don't even know what she did wrong. I think she snuck out. And it worked.
Right.
The hell? I would have been like, let's go inside, grab a pew. Tell you everything. What? Okay. Why are we in a church?
I'll tell you all about it.
Let's go inside. Let's go.
I mean, really?
What a standoff that would have been. I would have been like, let's go to the next church. What? Anywhere else? I'll tell you the same story over and over. I came home at curfew. And we're not pieces of shit. I do have a big conscience, but that just would not work on me.
Sorry. No, it sure wouldn't, but it worked on him. And I'm sure being there for 12 hours doesn't help, but
that's true. The sheer exhaustion would have gotten me before bringing in Mimi. No, we're good.
Yeah. So Detective Johnson leaves him alone for a second, or how True Crime Daily says, Johnson left the weeping Sam Shelton to himself, which I'm like, yeah, dead on.
Oh, my God.
And when he comes back, Sam tells him everything. So his confession. He said they met up after her job interview at Latterman Park, and they got in his car and started fooling around. Then they decided to drive around, and he said what he told him before was true. They got in an argument because he wanted to break it off. She was screaming at him, kicking him, fighting him. Again, no injury, so I'm going to call bullshit, but whatever. He kicked her out of the car, but she wouldn't leave, so he went around to the passenger side and put her in a chokehold to drag her out of the car. And mind you, he is a pro wrestler, or a
kind of
one. Kind of, not really.
But still, he knows how to do a chokehold.
Exactly. So he's strong. And as he was doing this, he heard her neck pop, and she went limp.
Mm-mm.
And when he let go, she fell forward, kind of like doubled over with her head near the floorboard. He looked around to see if anyone was around or maybe saw it, and there was no one around. So he lifted her up to see if she was still breathing, and she was. And he said he was a nervous wreck because he had just snapped her neck and didn't want to get in trouble. So instead of taking her to the hospital, he decided that he was just going to kill her. He put his hands around her neck and started choking. And after minutes of it not working, he took off his belt, wrapped it around her neck, disgusting, and pulled it as tight as he could. But he said he couldn't stand to look at her. He told police that she was looking straight at him. She started gurgling. She started foaming at the mouth and her tongue started protruding. And then she turned, quote, the grossest color he had ever seen.
Oh,
he says it as if it's her fault. Like, she was grossing me out so bad. Screw you.
Gross.
But because he's so squeamish, he couldn't look at her anymore. So he stopped, took her deep into these very dense woods, so dense police say she would have likely never been found, threw her on her stomach, put the belt back around her neck, and used his foot on her back to get some leverage, and pulled so hard that the belt broke.
Are you kidding?
Mm-mm.
Gross.
For how weak his stomach is, it's very brave of him to power through the nausea and commit this gruesome ass murder.
See, this is the stuff I don't know about. Gross.
So foul.
You've had a few stories lately with a belt around a neck situation. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry. Once she stopped breathing, he flipped her around and wrapped something else around her neck so it would, how he said, look like someone else strangled her. I don't know what this would be unless you have a rope with someone else's name on it. I'm pretty sure anything could be tied back to you, you fucking moron. But I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He then left the woods and went line dancing.
What?
Line dancing. What? Not a care in the world. I went to some bar and did a little line dance. Yes, there's footage. Yes, he looks like an idiot. Yes, I'll post it.
Wait, this can't be his only crime.
It's insane.
Also, so this is in his car or Jeremy's?
They drove around in his car. Her car was found at Latterman Park. This was a little bit of ways.
Okay.
The woods.
He went line dancing. He's a douche, too.
What a douche.
Please.
They also went through his phone, and he had texted another girl that night. Not only that, another student.
Nuh-uh.
Telling her how much he likes her. Turns out he had several student relationships.
Shut up.
A dangerous predator is who we're dealing with.
Gross.
Cops ask where her body is, and he says he would need to take them to it because it's too hard to describe. So they put him in handcuffs, and still in his baseball uniform, they all go to the woods.
Oh my God, he's still in his baseball uniform. What a douche.
Douche. They don't notify her parents yet because he could be full of shit. But her mom said at the 24-hour mark, she knew Ashley was dead and she would likely never see her again.
Aww.
But cops are hoping to at least give them some closure, allow them to give her a funeral. And it's not the news they want, but hopefully bring her killer to justice. It's been nearly 2 days at this point, over 30 hours since she was reported missing. It's late at night. I think it's around 1 a.m. It's cold. It's wet from rain. And the cops and Sam are just trekking through these incredibly thick woods. And the shithead can't get his bearings. He keeps getting lost. He can't remember exactly where she is. And cops are starting to doubt if he's even telling the truth. But finally, at 2 a.m., their flashlights shine on the lifeless body of poor Ashley. She is covered in bugs.
Oh.
Cops guess there are about 1,000 insects crawling all over her. She has mosquito bites everywhere. Her neck is bent at a very grotesque angle.
Her mouth
is open. Her eyes are wide open, and her arms are awkwardly by her neck as if she died trying to get the noose off. Horrifying.
Oh, God.
So all the cops are gathered around her and kind of evaluating her injuries before moving her body and disrupting the crime scene. And they're all so tired at this point that they think maybe their eyes are playing tricks on them. But one cop asks for another one to shine their flashlight on her again. And when he does, they see her chest rise.
That is the most unbelievable.
She's breathing.
Oh, my God. I'm going to die. I know that. But it's unbelievable. I actually forgot about that until you talked about the woods. Forgot that
part. They shine their light on her face and her eyes shift.
Oh, my God.
I mean, she's alive.
I'm dying.
Now, because she's alive, the actual footage is on this episode of On the Case with Paula Zahn.
Nope.
I'll be honest.
Nope.
Oh, God, I want to unsee it so bad. It is so chilling, so upsetting. My heart was racing the entire time. I got emotional. I got so emotional, I had to change it. So
she'll post it. I'm just kidding.
No, fuck, I will. No.
If you're morbidly curious,
go watch the... I mean, you can Google it at this point. Mm-hmm. I will not be posting it.
No way.
Like, remember that O.J. Simpson documentary on whatever the fuck network?
Yeah.
And they show Nicole Brown Simpson's neck without any blurred sensor.
Yeah.
Just the entire open wound from nearly decapitated woman.
Yes.
Her head is tilted back. You can see everything inside. It still pisses me off that there was no warning.
Oh, no God. Warning. It's insane.
A later viewing of it did have a black sensor bar over it. So I assume someone got in trouble.
Yeah.
But that was nearly 10 years ago and it's ingrained in my mind. And now so is this video of Ashley Reeves.
I think the on-demand version had censored it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if when it aired on TV, that couldn't have been an oversight. But it went, we were like, oh my God.
I was so pissed that I had to see that. Oh God. Yeah. So sad. And so is this Ashley Reese video. She just looks so helpless, so scared. And frankly, she looks deceased. Like her mouth is slightly open, completely still, with her eyes wide open and moving, just moving back and forth. That is, it is honestly so heartbreaking. It's the most heartbreaking thing I've seen in a long time. So again, watch the Paula Zahn episode if you're morbidly curious. I'm not posting it. I'm getting anxious talking about it. That said, I did have to replay it but I closed my eyes because I wanted to hear what the cops were saying and the rest of the conversation. They went from deliriously tired to holy shit, it's no longer a recovery, it's a rescue. And they yell, she's breathing, get EMTs. You can like feel the adrenaline pump that just went through each of them. It is tangible.
Oh my God, I have chills.
She's been out there for 30 hours. A trauma specialist said getting to the hospital within that first hour increases your chances of survival significantly. They call it the golden hour. And she has been out there for over 30 hours. One cop bends down, holds her hand, and asks if she can feel it, but she's completely unresponsive. She doesn't even have a blink response. Nothing. She can't close her mouth again. She can't move her fingers. She can't make a noise. All of that is lost when your brain is deprived of oxygen, and she has been without it for over a day.
I'm sick.
Paramedics rush there, and they use chainsaws to get through the trees in order to get to her faster. But once they do, they have to be very careful. Not only is her neck broken and her spine severely injured, the temperatures drop to freezing and it rains. So she's dangerously cold. And they have to very slowly warm her up because apparently when you're on the brink of hypothermia, any sudden movements can force cold blood from your arms, legs, and hands into the middle of your body and can cause you to go into shock.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
What month is it?
April, but temperatures drop. They're in Illinois. And
I know.
All in all, it takes them a full hour to safely move her. And the EMT tells the cops he would be shocked if she makes it out of the woods.
Oh, God.
But against all odds, she does. And while she's on the way to the hospital, the detectives call her parents to meet them there. And that's when they learn that she was viciously strangled and in critical condition. They show a picture of doing research. They show a picture of the doctor holding her eyelids open and her eyes are completely bloody red. You can't see white. I mean,
oh God.
Honestly, you think you're looking at a deceased person. It is so fucking sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she'll make it through the night. But again, against all odds, she does. Meanwhile, because Ashley is a badass and fighting for her life, Sam Shelton is now being charged with attempted murder.
Oh,
which I know we just talked about this on our top tier bonus episode, that it's so screwed up that just because someone sucks at murder means that they get significantly lesser sentence. But especially in this case, I'm like, no. I'll get on when just this footage of Ashley put me in the biggest rant about how bad I want to ruin this guy's life.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but okay. Playing huge devil's advocate. And I do not like advocating for the devil, but I will to make a point.
Oh, God, please
don't. If some asshole attacks a woman, throws her off of a ravine, and leaves, as we talked about in our top tier bonus episode.
Right.
And the victim lives and points the asshole out in the lineup, and that's how he's caught. I more so understand why you have to charge him with attempted murder, because that asshole is probably saying, no, I was never trying to kill her. Just wanted to hurt her. So, while I think it's bullshit, more so get how that line could be blurred depending on the crime and the scenario.
Yeah.
I get that. But here,
when the intent is very clear.
He confessed to it. He said murder.
Yeah.
If there's a confession to murder, unaware that the victim actually survived, they should be charged with murder and serve the same sentence he would have had she died. He said, I snapped her neck, so I decided to kill her. I strangled her. But she was still alive, so I did it until she stopped breathing. Then I left her dead body in the woods. He should be charged with murder whether she ends up surviving or not.
Right.
There's no question on his intent.
You don't have to convince me.
Yeah, I know. I could rant about it for days. He tells you exactly what he intended to do. He was looking to commit murder. Okay, then you're a dangerous man, and you need to be locked up for good.
And then went line dancing and texted other young girls. Other young students.
I can't.
this is a danger to society.
Right.
He didn't go home and confess to grandma.
No, he didn't. And mind you, he did leave her in the woods not breathing. She was unconscious. No, she just somewhere along the way woke up. And because of that, her attacker will not be serving life without parole. We will get there.
Where is he? Damn it. See, I don't know this
get
part.
There. I could
you don't need
for
to convince
days.
Me or our listeners.
No, guarantee I know. It. But I have to get on one because it just... Sam Shithead Shelton is formally arrested and he asks if he'll be able to get his... I literally just got my blood just started boiling.
Oh, okay. God.
He asks if he'll be able to get his contact solution to take his contacts out. And the cops are like, I doubt it. And he asks if he can have a private toilet in prison because he can't pee in front of other people due to his urinary stress disorder, which sounds like a fancy term for stage fright.
I mean, it is a fancy term for stage fright.
The cops
are
like,
you should have considered all this.
Well, it sounds like someone didn't think this through, did it? Doesn't it?
No, we're going to let our canine units take your contacts out. How about that?
Right.
Get this German Shepherd over here. Get the feisty one, the one that's newly trained.
Right.
Let's get him over here. He needs his contacts out.
I mean, dude, and they said, they're like, dude, I don't know. I doubt it. I'll ask, but I really don't think they'll be able to do that. And he says, quote, because if I can't pee, I'll be miserable.
Aw.
If there is ever a time for police brutality, this is it.
Have at it.
No, you don't get your own private bathroom. You entitled prick. You seem like a bedwetter anyway, so just fucking chill.
I mean, every single person in jail wants their own private bathroom.
Sure.
You're just going to have to get through it.
Right. And you know who doesn't get it? The predator who strangles 17-year-olds. So.
No.
His attorneys argued that his confession was given before his rights were read and it should be thrown out. And the court tells him to F off. Avoid a trial, he accepts a plea deal, which I'm like, why did y'all offer him one? Let's take this to trial. Let's let him plead not guilty and get the max. But he doesn't. He accepts the plea deal and he gets 20 years in prison. 20.
Wait, he's going to be under 50 when he gets out?
Yes. And we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets the option to address the court at sentencing, he doesn't.
No, thank you.
No apology. No, nothing. I did nothing wrong. Whatever. He did later say that he only took the plea deal so people would stop demonizing him, which I'm not sure how that would do it, but I will make it my life's purpose to demonize you, you tit-sucking mama's boy.
God, you demonized yourself.
I mean,
no one's inventing this story.
No. So all you're doing is making us fully aware that you got way less than you should have, and now we're pissed. I'm pissed.
He probably thought the plea deal meant all these details wouldn't come out. Because in trial, if you go to trial, everyone's going to know everything. Well, they did anyway. And you are a demon.
Yeah.
And that's not our fault.
That's not. Doctors initially didn't know if Ashley would be paralyzed or in a vegetative state the rest of her life. They thought it was potentially a scenario where it's like, unfortunately, she survived type of news.
Yeah.
She was put into a medically induced coma because of her brain swelling. And when they took her out of it, she still remained unresponsive for a few weeks. And then one day her foot moved. Okay. And that was it for a while. Then her mom said one day she just started screaming. Like, that's all she could do. Like, like night terrors. And she did that all day for about a week. All day.
Her mom said
it was obviously horrifying because all she wants to do is make it better. And she can't.
Oh, God.
And Ashley couldn't vocalize it's heartbreaking. She essentially had to start life over. She had to relearn how to eat, swallow, lift her head, move her arms, walk, talk, everything. Her mom kept a journal of milestones and said it was like her baby book all over again. Like today was her first smile, first giggle, first word. She's a newborn all over again.
How long did it take?
What?
How long did all that take?
All it says is several months, which is shut. Well, I'm sure several months in the hospital, and then it was still, ongoing.
Physical therapy and all that. Oh, my God.
She was making great progress, and she eventually was able to understand what she wanted to do, but still couldn't actually do it. So she would get very frustrated, very agitated, and she just wanted to go home.
Oh, my God.
For a long time, she didn't understand why or what happened to her. She doesn't know why she's there. But remarkably, After several months in the hospital and constant, very painful therapy, she did eventually make a full recovery. She started interacting with people and said that her proudest moment came only 2 months after the attack, when she attended a 5K race that was organized to help her pay medical bills. And with the help of her parents, she walked across the finish line.
Nuh-uh.
2 months after the attack. It's so sweet.
Oh my God. I cannot believe I had dibs on this. I am so glad I did not have to research all this and watch all these videos.
No, I know. It is so heartbreaking.
Oh my God.
Now allow me to tell you about the community response. Obviously, for the most part, she had all the support in the world. Hello, 5K. I just told you about it.
Oh God. I said, based on the way you introed this, I don't want to hear the community response, I don't think.
Well,
because you seem like you're getting feisty. I know it, and misery loves
company. I'm feisty about it.
Oh, wow.
Rebecca's
hot in this episode. Sorry, y'all. She's not yelling at you. She's not yelling at you. She's yelling at me, really, but mostly Sam, whatever his name is.
Oh, my God. It is just so upsetting. She's not mad at y'all. I'm not mad at y'all. I'm just mad at the situation in general.
I'm so glad I did not do this one.
Oh, my God. I'm sweating. My chest hurts. So most people in the community supported her, like I said. But there were some people who couldn't let go of this Sam's the All-American sweet boy bullshit and villainized Ashley. That poor girl who just had to start life over, she's the villain. There is a lot of poor Sam chatter. There's a lot of that happening. And apparently a few times, Ashley's parents would get pranked by people asking, do you know where your daughters are today? Laugh and hang up.
Okay. Wait, who?
Just
like
some
students
boys.
Or? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Some dumbass boys.
Here's my hope for these people.
Uh-oh.
I hope they've seen that body cam footage rescuing her. I hope they have kids today. And I hope that memory of pranking that child's parents creeps in their mind at all hours of the night. You know, you randomly get that flashback of something you did a million years ago that's either stupid or embarrassing or whatever it is. And you get that little chill of the, oh shit, like that wave of shame or embarrassment or regret washes over you.
Yeah, but if that's not strong enough to act on and reach out to her parents and be like, sorry, I did that. I was an asshole, immature little kid. Mm-hmm. Then that doesn't happen to them.
Oh my God.
But maybe they have, and the parents just haven't said it. But
yeah,
sure, you all wake up and you're like, God, remember when I said that dumb thing? Or like, I'm embarrassed by this.
Yeah.
No, if you don't act on it, then you don't care that much. Y'all, if you're new here, Rebecca's not always this heated.
Well.
But it's warranted, but.
Sam's mother is on this episode of On the Case with Paula Zahn, and she's awful.
She doesn't renounce him as her son?
Oh, my God. No.
Does the grandmom?
No, I don't know.
Can we at least tell Sam that they both renounce him?
No, she's not on here. But I am like, oh, your mother is the reason for your false sense of self-worth.
Jeez. What does she have to say? I can't believe she went on the show.
Well, that was my question. I'm like, why are you on the show? She's doting on him like he's a great man, the sweetest boy. And at first, I'm like, okay, we're talking about his past life and we're going to talk shit about what he did in a little bit. But no, just the entire time raving about him, doesn't mention Ashley or comment about what he did. I get loving your son no matter what, but I really don't get the purpose of you. You don't have to say yes. Why are you on the show? It's as if she's trying to sway people's opinion on what happened. Yes. And at one point she even says like, with all the stories going around, I don't even know what to believe. I'm like, look, lady, there's one story. And it's the one that your dipshit son told. So
yeah,
what are you trying to do? She goes on to talk about how awful it is that he got 20 years as if he's falsely accused of something. And she doesn't know how she made it through all of that. I mean,
she lost her son too.
For 20 years. It's a slap on the wrist.
It's a slap on the wrist, but I can understand why that would be hard for her. Plus, when someone's to stop nursing your baby so abruptly like that when they're taken away.
Literally.
It hurts.
It is. Yeah. It's remarkable how awful people are. People never fail to remind me how much they suck.
Oh, I know.
She reads a letter that he wrote her from the clink that says, verbatim, says, okay, thank you for being the best mama in the entire world. Every year you win Mom of the Year award. I love you, mama. Okay. Time to switch to formula. Charlie, I mean, literally, and that's it. Just a couple lines like that. And I'm like, what? Why'd you choose? Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Get me a mug like everyone else.
Yeah. And by the way, Ashley's on the show. So if I were Ashley, I'd be like, wait, no. After seeing this, I'd be like, I do not want to be a part of this. His friend's on the show and he's talking about how horrible it must have been for Ashley. And you're like, okay, finally. And then he goes, and then you think about Sam and poor Sam. Screw you. And it makes me annoyed of Paula Zahn's team that kept certain clips like that. I'm like, okay, don't give them a platform just to praise this monster without saying anything about what he did. At one point, Paula Zahn does a voiceover that says, Sam's mom knows he did a terrible thing. I'm like, can we hear her say it?
Yeah, because I would love to hear that from her.
I don't believe it. It's bullshit. She doesn't say
that. And so Paula Zahn doesn't fight back. Like, she's not a Nancy Grace type. Nope. Who's been like, excuse me?
No, that's what we need is Nancy Grace running this interview.
Or get off Josh Mankiewicz. He would fight back. He would say something. He'd be like, wait.
Or Keith Richards at this point. Keith Richards.
I mean, Keith Richards probably would too.
Keith Morrison definitely would. Sam's mom is, I would put money on the fact that she doesn't like Ashley at all. Ashley ruined her baby's life.
Oh, well, yes. I guarantee you. She's not even willing to admit.
She purses her lips at the mention of Ashley, I'm sure.
Oh, I thought you meant she really did. I was like, I am going to lose my shit.
No, but I know she does. I mean, it is just, Sam is the best boy. Oh, we had to take the plea deal. What option do we have? 60 years was your other option. So count your lucky fucking stars.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, God. Sorry. This was in 2006.
Yes.
20 okay. years is going to be up in 2 years.
Well, actually, Rach, now that you mention it, I'll just go ahead and say he is now 43 years old and was actually moved to a minimum security prison, which appears to be in the preparation of his possible upcoming release date of April 22nd, 2024.
No.
He is up for parole this month, 3 years short of his 20-year sentence. If he's released, I will lead the riot.
Oh, my gosh.
Follow me, everyone. So,
get in line. Wait, he will be 43 years old.
Yes. Ashley doesn't remember 2 days prior to her attack, the day of, or a few weeks after. For a long time, she didn't believe Sam did this. She just has no idea why he would or where this attack came from. She said they had never argued before, so she has no idea what happened that night. And it was only recently, kind of recently, in her interview with True Crime Daily, which I think was in 2017, that she says she watched the interrogation video and got 1.5 minutes in of his confession before she had to turn it off.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Elizabeth Smart says she, too, watched her captor's interrogation video, and it was so frightening.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh.
She also asked to see pictures. Ashley asked to see pictures of herself, and they showed her one with her neck brace on being rescued and wouldn't allow her to see anymore.
Oh.
So instead, she watched that video of them finding her, one that's very public now, and she gets to the part where the flashlight shines on her, and she saw how her body looked, and she couldn't go any further.
Oh, God.
She's poor never Ashley. Expected. I know. It's so upsetting. She's never expected an apology from Sam, which is good because he's the absolute worst and will never give her one. And she's okay with that. She doesn't need him. She's married now. She has 2 kids and they're living in Illinois and she's very happy. And that, Rach, is the reason for my stress headache this week.
Wait, so she's married with 2 kids. That's great, though.
That's great. I know. She made a full recovery. That asshole will never be married with kids. I hope he lives a miserable life.
I mean, that is insane. She made a full recovery. Good for her.
I know. God, it is so upsetting. I know. I was on one today. And you know what started it? That body cam footage. So
yeah, blame Paula Zahn. So glad I did not get this story. Thank you. God.
You're very welcome. Obviously, I didn't title that Medium article. I didn't source it. I guess this whole story was that title. It's like 17-year-old attacked by teacher makes full recovery, so that asshole only gets 20 years. Like the
it
title,
really
so
is. Yeah, a Lifetime movie title tells you all of it in the title. Great. Right. Wow.
But she did a good job, Nikki Young.
Damn.
Any more comments on that asshole? I
can't. No, I hate him. You're dripping sweat.
I'm so heated right now. I'm so glad that's off my chest. I cannot stand him. Can't stand his mom. Sorry.
I know. I mean, I'm not defending her, but, you know.
I get backing your son. But, like, say something about, oh, no, he tells me his regrets all the time. Lie to me.
Yeah, lie to me. Lie to me as the viewer because
I'm like, gross. Why are you even on the show? Why did y'all allow her to be on it? Like, what is she acting like he's falsely accused of? And like, oh, it was awful. He got 20 years. Like, no. That was amazing for you that he got 20 years.
Yes.
Fuck off. And well, there's so many stories going around. I don't know what to believe. I'm like, oh, you know what? I looked for any other story because I was going to maybe incorporate it to throw Rach off. And there's not one. It's only what your dipshit son told you. So what do you, at least I wish Paula Zondit said that. I mean, what other story?
What other story are you talking about? And you know he was having a relationship with a minor and several others.
Right.
You do know that.
Yeah.
Phone records show you that. And also the story your son told to police, that you know that story's true too. So what are you confused about? Your son is a piece of shit. I'm sorry.
I know.
I would be sad too. I wouldn't like that either. I do not want my son to be a piece of shit. That would be horrible.
Right. But poor you. Well, at least your son didn't have to learn how to swallow food again and lift his head again and walk and talk and do the whole thing.
God, so. Her poor family.
God, so fucking upsetting.
Yeah.
Oh, that body cam footage. Okay. Nope. Patrons. Amanda, Rose, A. Tate, Brooke, Abby, and Whitney. Welcome.
Y'all. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm officially lifting it up again because I just can't stop.
My custom shout out is for from Amy. It says, please give a shout out for my sister and brother-in-law's store in Springfield, South Carolina, Carson's Collectibles and Antiques. Springfield is a sweet small town near Aiken and Augusta, Georgia. Stop by and browse through the many booths and find treasures from the past. You can also buy fresh homemade bread and eggs from their farm.
Ooh, okay.
I love that. If you love antiques and or vintage items, you will love this store. I did look it up because I love a good antique and vintage find. They have 7,500 square feet of shopping space right in the middle of this cute little downtown.
So oh my God.
Check it out if you're in the area.
Sometimes we are in that area.
I know.
I'm both married Augusta boys. Ooh, the Masters too. Duh. Yeah. Hey, if you're going to the Masters,
stop on by.
Oh no, it's during Masters week.
Mm. Yeah. And find me. I'll be there Saturday.
Wearing a cute dress.
I'll be the one with the dress and tennis shoes on. It's everyone.
Everyone's
going to be wearing that, guys.
Maybe a hat.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Wow. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Rebecca, for taking that story. I am so glad I did not have to see any of those videos. Not going to.
Yeah.
And thanks, y'all, for bearing with me while I'm on vacay. I hope this sounds okay, but y'all are the best.
People are the worst. Sam Shelton's the fucking worst.
Say it again.
Louder for the people in the back. Sam Shelton sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.